This is 5 in 10 from Skywatch TV for Wednesday, March 10th, 2021. I'm Derek Gilbert. Topic number 5 today, the border. A U.S. Border Patrol official issued a warning that the number of illegals crossing the southern border, if they continue at this rate, will surpass this year what we've seen the past 3 years combined. This is John Modlin, the interim chief in charge of the Border Patrol's Tucson sector, talking to independent journalist Cheryl Atkinson, said we've already surpassed in the first 4 months of this fiscal year all of 2018. If the flow continues at this rate for the rest of this fiscal year, we will have surpassed 18, 19, and 20 combined. His voice just added to a number of other officials who in recent days have raised a warning about what is happening at the southern border. Among them, Representative Henry Cuellar, Democrat from Texas, who issued a news release about the surge Monday, saying in the last 7 days in the valley, they've stopped 10,000 individuals and 2,500 in the last 2 days, many of whom are being released into the country. And a record number of children now being kept in Border Patrol, cages, at least that's what they were called during the Trump administration, as the surge in migrants continues to overwhelm the Biden administration's ability to keep up. As of Monday this week, over 3,200 unaccompanied minors were reported in Border Patrol facilities. Nearly half are being held beyond the legal 3-day limit, according to CBS News, which added that the Office of Refugee Resettlement only has about 500 beds available near the southern border to handle the influx of children now entering American custody. Topic number 4, Trump in 24. We ask because we note a couple of items that seem unrelated but actually are. On Monday, the Supreme Court tossed out the last of 3 challenges brought by Donald Trump to the 2020 election. This pretty much ends his legal quest for vindication through the courts. Hardly any of these cases actually considered the evidence presented and dismissed them on technical grounds. However, he appears to have been thrown a lifeline by an unlikely ally. It's actually an unintentional ally. That is California Representative Eric Swalwell. Democrat serves the East Bay area just across San Francisco Bay from Nancy Pelosi, whose protege he seems to be. This is not because of Swalwell's relationship with Christine Fang, the Chinese intelligence operative with whom Swalwell allegedly had a physical relationship for 2 years. It is because Swalwell has decided to file a lawsuit against former President Trump, and this could offer Trump the opportunity to put in front of a court information that would vindicate him in the January 6th riot on Capitol Hill. The 64-page complaint filed by Swalwell, which also names son Donald Jr., Rudy Giuliani, and Representative Mo Brooks of Alabama, alleges 9 counts for relief from criminal, or rather negligent emotional distress suffered by Swalwell during the riots to negligence in the incitement to riot. Now, this might seem to be an easy case to win. An array of legal experts has insisted for months that this was clear criminal incitement rather than an exercise of free speech. And as a civil lawsuit, it should be easier to win since the standard of proof is lower for civil cases than it is for legal cases. However, Swalwell's lawsuit will force a court to determine if the defendant's speeches were actually protected political speech. This analysis, by the way, courtesy of legal analyst Jonathan Turley, constitutional scholar. Swalwell, in this case, will have to show that Trump was the factual and legal cause of his claimed injuries, but claims of blame would have been easier to make before the House of Representatives refused to hold hearings during Trump's impeachment, the drive-by impeachment, including weeks of the weeks following the snap impeachment. And now facts have emerged that actually implicate Congress and congressional leadership in the failure to secure the Capitol. As we told you, they had advance warning from the FBI and the New York City Police Department that people were traveling to Washington, D.C. on January 6th to work some violence. There's also a growing problem with the now established timeline of events on January 6th. Swalwell's complaint alleges a failure by Trump to act in a timely manner as violence unfolded. But as more information has been released, the time period now has shrunk to show that they're just 30 minutes or less between the time the first person entered the Capitol and the time that Trump publicly called for law and order. 30 minutes, not quite what was claimed during the impeachment or in Swalwell's lawsuit. Finally, Swalwell's complaint accuses Trump of reckless rhetoric, but this could put Swalwell in the dock and on the witness stand having to answer for his own rhetoric, including mocking U.S. Senator Susan Collins tweeting out boo-hoo-hoo when her home was surrounded by rioters calling for her head. The fact that he's filed this now means that the timeline that it takes to process through the court could lead to Swalwell's complaint failing on appeal just in time for the 2024 presidential campaign, giving Donald Trump an opportunity to claim vindication in the courts for what happened on January 6th, for which he was impeached a second time. Thank you, Representative Swalwell. Topic number three, moving on. Don't mess with Queen Liz. Buckingham Palace broke with normal convention Tuesday. I hadn't really wanted to talk about Harry and Meghan, but Queen Elizabeth's response to what's going on here is so shrewd, I just have to point it out. Buckingham Palace issued a statement on Tuesday to the extraordinary claims made by Meghan Markle during the interview with Oprah Winfrey, expressing sympathy to Ms. Markle, but gently questioning her version of events. As you probably have heard, Meghan claimed that she was the victim of racism, as Markle is mixed race. In a message published by Buckingham Palace, Queen Elizabeth said Harry and Meghan remained much-loved family members, adding that the issues raised, particularly of race, are concerning. They would be addressed privately, she said, but the Queen made it clear that she did not recognize the events described by Duchess Meghan, noting, and I quote, some recollections may vary, end quote. In other words, for Buckingham Palace to properly address these issues, they'll need names. Who was it who said these offensive things that Meghan and Harry told Oprah they said? And if they actually do name names, well then, if there's no proof, Ms. Markle could be held legally liable for slander. Queen Elizabeth is pretty sharp. Don't mess with her or her family. Topic number two, space hurricane. This is just one of those cool science stories. Scientists have discovered an enormous space hurricane above the Earth that lasted for about 8 hours before dissipating. In their study, scientists who conducted this research said this marks the first time that such a phenomenon has been observed. But instead of raining water, the space hurricane rained electrons. It actually occurred back in 2014, but it was only recently discovered during retrospective analysis. Professor Mike Lockwood, space scientist at the University of Reading, said until now it was uncertain that space storms, space plasma hurricanes even existed. So to prove this with such a striking observation is incredible, end quote. It really is, and it's why we actually love science here at SkyWatch TV, because it helps us to appreciate just how awesome God's creation really is. Coming up, a sneaky defense against Skynet. That's next on 5 and 10.
Since ancient times, lights in the heavens have been understood as omens of important coming events. They've been seen as the messengers of the gods. But others recognize them for what they really are. Agents of judgment from the one true God, sent to a disobedient and dying world. Now, something is headed toward Earth, and it's set to arrive very soon. It's racing toward our planet at this very moment. It cannot be stopped, and it's carrying the secret of America's, the world's, and your tomorrow.
When God revealed to me the date that Pope Benedict would resign over a year in advance, people were in disbelief until it actually happened. Then, when I shared what God had revealed to me about a worldwide destruction set for only a few years from now, some people responded with disbelief, and some are terrified. Revelation 8 is unfolding as we speak, bringing not only wanton destruction, but also an ancient messenger heralding the arrival of the Great Tribulation period just before the second coming of Jesus Christ.
immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the asteroids shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, when they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory.
I predict that over the next 9 years lies the greatest time of trouble the world has ever known. A prophesied aeon that some people call the Great Tribulation Period. Whether they want it or not, all of those on earth at this time are going to be forced to heed the warning of the messenger.
Item number one today, outsmarting artificial intelligence. OpenAI, which is a group that's backed by Elon Musk, the world's richest man, at least this week, has published new work on the CLIP neural network. This is a state-of-the-art system for allowing computers to recognize the world around them. Neural networks are machine learning systems that can be trained over time to get better at certain tasks, using sensors to determine what exactly is going on in the world around them. For example, CLIP has a multimodal neuron they've dubbed Spider-Man that fires. This neuron fires when it sees either an image of a spider, the word spider, or an image or drawing of the superhero Spider-Man. Hence the Spider-Man neuron. Okay, that's the multimodal neuron and what it does. Well, researchers have discovered that one side effect of multimodal neurons is that they can be used to fool this artificial intelligence called CLIP. Case in point, on the screen behind me, you see this apple was correctly identified by CLIP in the example 85.6% of the time as Granny Smith. Granny Smith. Of course, that's a variety of apple, really good in apple pie. However, CLIP was unable to tell the difference between Granny Smith and an MP3 player when researchers stuck a label on the apple marked iPod. Simply putting that label on the apple caused CLIP and its multimodal neuron to identify it as an iPod 99.7% of the time. Yes, that simple word, drawn with a Sharpie on a sticky, fooled the high-tech multimodal neuron into misidentifying a piece of fruit as a high-tech electronic device, which suggests that we may be able to protect ourselves against Skynet, the artificial intelligence behind the Terminator robots, simply by sticking labels on our shirts. Problem solved. Humans win again. Well, speaking of artificial intelligence, just some brand news about a virtual conference coming up at the end of the month. I'll be speaking on transhumanism in the days of Noah for the Discerning Minds virtual conference. This just announced by Hear the Watchman, Mike Kerr and Jeannie Moore. This is coming up Friday, March 26th and Saturday, March 27th. Again, I'll be talking about the use of science or abuse of science to try to conquer death, to transcend our biological limits, and how it relates to the days of Noah, both then and future. You can find out more online and sign up now at hearthewatchmen.com, hearthewatchmen.com. We hope we see you in the Holy Land in October. We are planning on being there between October 3rd and 18th. Sharon and I, along with our colleagues from Skywatch TV, Donna Howell and Allie Henson, and our special guest, Messianic Rabbi Zev Porat, will be there for 2 weeks, traveling through the Holy Land, showing you important sites, teaching and preaching all along the way, including sites that other tours just won't visit, sites in the biblical lands of Samaria, which includes about 80% of the Bible's history, places like Joshua's Altar, Shiloh, Bethel, and, of course, archaeological sites like Sisera's Fortress. You know, he was the the Canaanite general defeated by Deborah and Barak, and Gilgal Rephaim up on the Golan Heights. Show you some dolmens as well. Fascinating stuff, and take advantage of the optional 3-day extension over to Jordan, where we'll visit Mount Nebo, the Red Desert of Wadi Rum, and Petra. You can find out more, including costs, sample itinerary, and more, and reserve your place online, skywatchinisrael.com. That's skywatchinisrael.com. During the month of March, our thank you gift for your donation of any amount, if you're in the U.S. or Canada, is Pastor Carl Gallup's book, Gods of the Final Kingdom. Who are these principalities and powers we face, and what is their role in the end times? Carl lays it all out, and we will send that book to you for your gift of any size during the month of March in the U.S. or Canada. You can find out more online, skywatchtv.com. Click the button that says donate, or give us a call, 844-750-4985. And thank you. This week on Skywatch TV, Allie Henson explains why the Book of Life is connected to the year 2025 and how that connects to the near pass of asteroid Apophis in the year 2029. What is coming at us, and how does all of this fit together on a prophetic timeline? Our weekly broadcast over the air, you'll find our schedule for that broadcast at skywatchtv.com/channels, or just add the Skywatch TV app to Roku or Apple TV, and our broadcast will be on your TV whenever you click the remote, or just download our free mobile app, which brings all of our video content, plus important news and a schedule of our upcoming events right to your smartphone or tablet, whether it's an iOS or Android device or Amazon Kindle Fire tablet. We have free apps for all of those and links to the app stores at skywatchtv.com. You'll find everything I do linked at gilberthouse.org, which features the weekly Bible study that Sharon and I produce, the Gilbert House Fellowship. That goes all the way back, well, more than 5 years now. We've been through the Bible once all the way, and we're back into the book of Numbers now as we go through it a second time. You can see, find all of the archives there at gilberthouse.org. Thank you for watching as we keep watch. I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is 5 in 10 from Skywatch TV.